The transfiguration is a liminal moment. A liminal moment is an in-between time, a time of transition, a time not yet what it could be. Think of the first day of school. How did you feel the night before? Think of when you were engaged but not yet married. Think of before you took your first job. There's an anxiousness, maybe some excitement, and some wondering of what life will be. Most of us prefer to live in times of stability. How many of you like to move? Not many of us would sign up for it, right? But those are the moments of disruption, of transition. And in our liturgical season, the day of Transfiguration marks the end of the season of Epiphany, a season focused on discipleship and spiritual growth. And on the cusp of our season of Lent, a time of repentance, a time to look inward and do some moral assessment of our lives and to recommit ourselves to Christ. The transfiguration of Jesus, where he becomes dazzlingly bright, his clothes, his face, he shines on the top of a mountain for Peter, James, and John. Sort of the inner circle of the discipleship group, are given this unique privilege of not only seeing Jesus' appearance change, transfigured, but also hearing the voice of God. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. This is a transition moment for the disciples. It is a transition moment for the ministry of Jesus. From here, Jesus will begin his journey to the cross, his public ministry of teaching and healing, proclaiming the kingdom, instructing the disciples, preparing them, is coming to a conclusion. And maybe Jesus needed to hear these exact same words which were spoken to him at his baptism. When the heavens opened and the Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove, "You are my Son, with you I am well pleased." He hears these words again as he steadies himself for his toughest journey yet, the journey to the cross. But this transfiguration moment, this liminal moment, seems to be especially designed for these three disciples. And for good reason. They too need their faith steadied and bolstered. Because yes, Jesus is going to the cross. The story of God's revelation that is Jesus does not conclude with his death on the cross or even his glorious resurrection, which is hinted at in this particular story. But we'll continue with the work of the church, the work to which these disciples are called, Peter, James, John, all of the 12. They will become the evangelists, the leaders building up the church in Jesus' name. And because the cross is such a challenge, they are going to need this transfiguration moment to help them stay steady and fast to their faith. Because we can only imagine what this moment was like. place yourself. You're journeying with Jesus. He singles you out. Peter, James, and John, come with me. Scripture says they went by themselves and they journeyed up to the top of a mountain. And as we know from Old and New Testament, holy things happen on mountaintops. And so they journey up with Jesus. And as they get to the top, this miraculous thing happens. Jesus becomes transfigured, dazzlingly bright, his face and his clothes. It's almost like God is saying to these disciples, hey, wake up. I'm going to show you something. Try to remember it. Jesus is the very embodiment of God's presence on earth. Listen to him. Whatever he tells you, and if you were to go back and to look in the context of Matthew 17, Jesus has just predicted to his disciples his journey to the cross, that the Son of Man must undergo suffering and death. But remember that Jesus is the very embodiment of God. So Peter, James, and John, and Peter in particular, who's quick to speak up, says it's good for us to be here. We should make three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah. Yeah, by the way, Moses and Elijah show up just to make sure that the disciples don't miss the holiness of this moment. And Peter's instinct is maybe to stay there, to stay in that mountaintop moment. But it's a liminal moment. These don't last. They're meant to form and shape us so that we can continue our journey in faithfulness. Peter wants to stay on the mountain, just like all of us when we have one of these divine mountaintop experiences. Some of us have those experiences literally on mountaintops. Other times it's just the elation of feeling joy and contentment and peace and connection to one another and to God. I hope that you've had these moments in your life. I know I have, and they don't last. We have to go back down the mountain. And the truth from this scripture tells us that once all of God's theatrics, the shining bright, the Moses and Elijah, the voice from heaven, what it says is once all of that fades, what are the disciples left with? They're left with Jesus. Jesus never leaves them. His appearance changes back to normal, and he journeys with them down the mountain. He journeys with them back into their everyday life. We need those mountaintop moments that help us to clarify our faith, our identity, our purpose, and yet our real journey continues in everyday life, in the valley, in the places where we meet reality, the place of pain and discouragement, the place where our neighbors are hurting, a place of fear and anxiety and injustice. We carry with us those moments of faith. We carry them with us to sustain us and encourage us so that we might meet others in the valley, a place of ministry and service, of care and compassion. As we begin this week our Lenten journey, we will no doubt be in the valley. That's an important place to journey. But we carry with us the mountaintops. We carry with us the strength and endurance of our faith. And knowing that Jesus is with us, we never walk alone. So may we experience God in the top of the mountain and in the low of the valley. And may we see in each other the children of God that God created us to be. Let us walk together. Let us walk in faith. Amen.